the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Brian Lloyd is with us to look at what movies are available to see at present, but also to tell us about how Stephen Colbert, or Colbert as we'd like
Colbert,
to say,
yes, part Colbert, of the world. He calls it Colbert.
Yeah. Is going to write the new Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Shadow of the Past, it's called. He's writing it. His son, Ben Colbert, or Colbert, is a screenwriter. So he and him they pitched it about 2-3 years ago to Peter Jackson, who's now kind of been the steward of Lord of the Rings for Warner Brothers for the past, since the films were released. And the idea is essentially that it's set a few years after the events of Lord of the Rings.
But 14 years, is it?
Yeah, 14 years, yeah. And it follows the daughter of Sean Astin's character, Samwise Gamgee, and both, you know, them, how kind of, you know, the War of the Ring almost kind of wasn't won, and that there was a character in the books called Tom Bombadil that was completely written out by Peter Jackson's adaptation.
Yeah, because there were certain chapters of The Fellowship of the Ring which were considered unadaptable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, chapters 3 and chapter 6. And Colbert, I mean, he is, when I say an avid, I mean, I'm really not putting the emphasis on it. He is an insane Lord of the Rings fan.
A complete obsessive.
He even had a cameo in one of the Hobbit films as well. And like, even going back to the Colbert Report and stuff like that, when he'd have people like Viggo Mortensen and, you know, cast members on, he would literally correct them on the lore and the sort of the legendarium of Lord of the Rings. So he is, it's like, I mean, Jesus, it's like putting an absolute anorak in charge of the shop.
And is that necessarily a good thing?
I see, this is it. I wonder, isn't it? Because on the one hand, it's kind of like, okay, the enthusiasm that he would bring is something that a lot of Lord of the Rings fans have. They have a real genuine enthusiasm for it. Just to see someone that has the same amount of love for it. On the other hand, though, one could argue that it's not being able to see the wood from the trees, and that, you know, he will just go down all these rabbit holes and he'll kind of lose the sort of the essential humanistic elements that people love about Lord of the Rings. All that being said, I will go see it. I will go see it out of pure curiosity.
And when is it going to be made?
I wouldn't imagine, you won't see this in cinemas, I would say, until 2028. If it even ends up happening, to be honest, because you have to remember, this is under Warner Brothers, and they're currently still going through that sale with Paramount. And already Gavin Newsom and Adam Schiff, in the who's a US Californian senator, has said that he is not in favour of this merger, and that could very easily put the kibosh on it and put, you know, all of Warner Brothers' slate into a tailspin. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see. So it could be Lord of the Rings, Shadow of the Past. We will get it. Will Peter Jackson produce and direct it?
Yeah, he will. Yeah, as far as I know, yeah, he's set to produce and direct, yeah.
Before we get to the new movies this week, we weren't able to do movies last Thursday, which meant we missed out on Project Hail Mary, which is turning out to be absolutely brilliant for the movie industry. It's getting people into cinemas. Before we talk a little bit about it, this Ryan Gosling movie based on the 2021 novel by Andy Weir, who also wrote The Martian, let's hear a bit from the trailer for Project Hail Mary.
The son is dying. Dr. Grace, I need your help.
I am a teacher at Grover Cleveland Middle.
You have a doctorate in molecular biology.
I'm not an astronaut.
I've never done a space walk. I can't even moonwalk. I haven't done the pool thing.
No. This is just for social media.
Object approaching.
Oh my God.
So, I met an alien.
I'm Grace.
I'm gonna call you Rocky.
His son is dying too.
If we're going to save our planet, we have to learn how to communicate.
Why is a school teacher in space? Don't like that voice.
Ooh. Nope.
I am Rocky.
That's not bad.
Amaze.
Welcome to the Hail Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, Dr. Grace.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, Rocky.
Someday you will find me.
Together, we're pretty smart.
The world is counting on you.
It's now or never.
So I have a new roommate.
Who is Grace talking to?
There's no way you can hear me right now.
Can hear.
Oh, my God.
I'm not heroic.
You just need to find someone who'll be brave for.
You are the bravest human I have ever met.
is joke. I only meet one human, and is you.
I get it.
So, aliens sound like they're Eastern Europeans talking English.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. The accent is a bit strange because, I mean, there's a scene in it where Ryan Gosling's character cycles through a load of different voices and he lands on one celebrity voice that's very, very funny, and it's a great little joke. But yeah, I love this. I absolutely love this. This has been the biggest, it's had the biggest opening of the year so far.
Second biggest opening for a non-franchise movie in the past decade. Only Oppenheimer has done
it. Only Oppenheimer has beaten it. Yeah, absolutely. I have to admit, I went into this a little bit skeptical, to be honest, because, you know, Ryan Gosling, I mean, he does generally tend to play the same. He's kind of like Jeff Goldblum. He's gone a bit like Jeff Goldblum, I find, where he's playing the same version. Hold on, I can see the face. He plays the same version of the same character over and over again.
Ah, he doesn't.
He does a bit now. Come on now. Like, it's the nice guys. It's like he's just replicating that kind of, you know, dorky, motor mouth, funny kind of guy. He did it in The Fall Guy as well. I mean, yeah, fine. You know, he had stuff like, you know, Half Nelson and Lars and the Real Girl and Drive and everything. But I feel like in the last like 5 to 10 years, he's really kind of gone for this sort of Tom Hanks, everyman kind of. I'm not knocking it. Like, it's done very, very well for him. And he is great in this. I think that kind of, that sort of easy charm that he has works for something like this because it's written by Andy Weir. And if you've read the book, I mean, it's very, very hard sci-fi. There is a lot of jargon in it. But the fact that it is kind of packaged in such a way in this that it doesn't necessarily negate all those things. It is made accessible by him and by his humour and by the relationship he has there with Rocky the alien and stuff like that. And even just, I mean, there's this whole kind of trend now in sort of film and TV, and you see it with like The Pit, for example, what's kind of dubbed, and I hate using the phrase, competency porn, whereby you have very like capable, smart characters figuring out a problem and just the enjoyment of watching people know what they're doing and figuring it out. Like
MacGyver, is it?
Well, yeah, like MacGyver, yeah. I mean, yeah, MacGyver was the precursor, but like I think it's kind of a reflection of like where we are in the world because you see what Donald Trump is doing and Pete Hegseth and all them goons and they're just flailing around the place. So to see people who know what they're doing and are smart about it is kind of, it's a tonic for people. Do you know that sort of way?
Okay, let's hear a clip from the trailer for No Ordinary Heist.
You're in a position of responsibility. Anyone could distract you and snatch those keys.
Stop, Jesus Christ!
Oh, God, no. This will be a very swift operation. You will evade security, fill 3 cages with cash, and bring them to us. And here's the clever bit. Not one of my men will set foot inside the bank. Your job is to keep each other's loved ones alive.
Give the gang what they want and away they go.
We call, you answer, Bill Shaddive.
Get your arse down there.
What if he can't get them what they want?
Do you not have faith in your husband, Mrs. Murray?
Not always.
I hear you.
What did you say? Did you tell him?
Go, go, go!
What are you doing?
Report of activity at the Northern Bank.
I want more cash. Are you listening to me?
I'm going to need to see you inside the bag.
Okay, based on the Northern Bank robbery in Belfast in 2004 with Eddie Marson, Eva Bird-Thistle and Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Well, Ina Hardwick.
Did you see it, by the way?
Psycho, and yeah. Not yet.
Interesting. Okay.
Not yet. Okay. But anyway, this is a movie about the robbery, infamous robbery, which apparently somehow never once mentions the IRA.
Not once. No, it's just kind of loosely referred to as like a kind of criminal organization. Like Anna Hardwick's character refers to them as hoods and all the rest of it. But it's interesting because I feel, believe it or believe it not, by just taking the bare bones of the story, which is, you know, a tiger kidnapping, people are forced to go in and kind of carry out the robbery themselves. That's interesting in and of itself. Like you could look at something like Inside Man, for example, and see how like the heist thriller can be kind of pulled and kind of turned in a certain way. The problem with this is, though, is that because we know the story that, you know, this impacted the peace process, the fact that here we are like nearly 20 years later and we're still finding out stuff, like there was only a recent disclosure in the state papers about relating to this. I think it was Bobby Story was involved, or there was a whole thing of it anyway. But none of that is in the film whatsoever. This is solely just about the heist. And while that can work as in, you know, it creates a pressure cooker environment and you're just, you know, you're really seeing the whites of the eyes of Eddie Marsden and Anna Hardwick as they're going through this, it takes away so much because you can tell that there's a lot going on the outside. But trying to kind of keep it to two characters, you know, trapped in a small building, trying to navigate social kind of interactions and stuff, it leaves it quite tepid, I found. Like, I did find myself a little bit bored by this, which is a shame because it's such a rich story and there's so much going on, but so much of it was kind of left on the cutting room floor, I would imagine.
No, what's Splitsville?
Splitsville is this romantic comedy starring Dakota Johnson, Adria Arjona, Kyle Marvin, and it's all about basically open marriages. Kyle Marvin's character is about to get divorced from Adria Arjona. He goes to visit his lifelong friends. One of them is Dakota Johnson. She reveals that her and her husband are in an open marriage. After a few drinks and everything else, Kyle Marvin's character ends up sleeping with Dakota Johnson. And then the whole sort of kind of carefully constructed bourgeois relationship that they've all had begins to unravel. Even though this is like an American film and it's American actors and all the rest of it, this feels very much like a sort of European French.
I was just going to say, very French, French comedy, wouldn't
very,
it?
Very French sex comedy, yeah. And that's fine. I mean, the fact that it's so frank about, you know, infidelity, the fact that it's so kind of brazen about it, it's, again, very European, but with American kind of characters, it's fun, it's enjoyable. It's not going to break the bank or change anything, but yeah.
Brian Lloyd, thank you very much for that.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.